Thank you for joining me today as we meet coast to coast in the United States on the radio and around the world on the God Is podcast. We're emerging from the long holiday weekend here in the U.S. and setting our course now through the heart of the summertime. Many of you will be breaking away from your normal routines and getting a rest. But here, we press on in our quest to know who God is. And after a brief break last week in which we talked together about the pre-existence of God, and then on Friday I shared with you the Psalm of Dependence, Psalm 62, today we return to the Gospel of Matthew and the life of Christ, again asking, what does Jesus teach us about God? Turn with me now if you can to Matthew chapter 4. Matthew is the first book of the Bible's New Testament, and we put in together this week at chapter 4. Those of you who are Christians know this from your own reading as the location in the text of the temptation of Jesus by Satan in the wilderness. Parallel passages are Mark 1, verses 12 through 13, and Luke 4, verses 1 through 13. So that what we will read about in Matthew 4 is also found from the perspective of Mark in Mark 1, 12 to 13, and from the perspective of Luke in Luke 4, verses 1 through 13. And I'll tell you now that we'll deal with these temptations primarily in Matthew 4, but I will make reference to the accounts of Mark and Luke. It should be noted, John does not include this true story from the life of Christ in his gospel. So that what you can now do is have your Bible in hand and ready to flip between Matthew, Mark, and Luke. Should you need to be attentive to the road during our times together, read these texts in the evening. It stays later in the evenings now that summer's here, and so what better way to end the day than to digest a big scoop of ice cream, look out across the city or suburbia where you are, and read the very Word of God to your mind and heart. Now, as we come to these verses in Matthew chapter 4, I want to introduce these to you in a way that is a little bit different than usual. I want to see if I can get you to engage the Bible such that the Holy Spirit can minister God's Word to you in a way that will capture your attention this week as we proceed learning about who God is via the temptations Jesus was given. And so before I start sharing with you my perspective on what the Bible means by what the Bible says, let's see what you can notice on your own with a little assistance and encouragement from me. This will involve a little work on your part, but it is a task that is very doable. We might call this summer school or summer Bible school. I know school is out for the months of July and August, but we're being recalled so that we can make up for what we missed or so that we can get ahead of the other students. It is interesting to see how various cultures approach the whole matter of summer school. In the States, it tends to be viewed negatively. For young people, it's a bad thing if they end up studying about now. All the other kids are on vacation. But in the Asian context, which I'm very familiar with, having lived in Hong Kong, millions of children and teenagers take advantage of the summer break to brush up on their academics and get ahead. And it doesn't necessarily bother them to do so. Run that idea by your kids later and see what they think. So as we step into our summer Bible school here on God Is, what is your first assignment? Here it is. By tomorrow's broadcast and podcast, pick up the reading at Matthew chapter 4 and read verses 1 through 11 as many times as it takes for your mind to get a firm grip on what is happening in Jesus' life at this time. This is 11 verses. Every one of us has plenty of time between now and this time tomorrow to read these verses multiple times. I just timed myself reading Matthew 4, 1 through 11, and it took me 45 seconds. That's not even 1 minute. Then I read the same 11 verses again, and it took me less time, 40 seconds. My point is, you have the time. The only question is, will you use your free time for reading the Bible? The first part of your assignment, should you choose to accept it, will be to read and reread Matthew 4, 1 through 11, multiple times. After you do that, here's what I want you to do. However you take some notes, get that gear out. Some of you jot things down on a piece of paper, others of you use the audio technology on your phone and dictate notes to yourself. Great. However you do so, be prepared to answer this question. What four or five things impacted you as you read these verses? What stands out to you? As you read and reread the text, what did you notice? Whatever these four or five things are, write them down. And here's what will happen when we meet back here tomorrow. I'll invite you to tell the rest of us what your four or five observations were. What stood out to you? and then I will give you my four or five observations from Matthew 4, 1 through 11. Okay? You must not be intimidated on this. It's a very simple assignment that literally everyone can do. If you cannot read, get online or an app and have the passage read to you. As the narrator reads, what do you notice? This is what I'm asking you to do in preparation for our study that has commenced today. If you have any questions about this, email me now. I have a tip, one that I use in poring over the scriptures. In fact, I did this in preparation for working on Matthew 4. I went to BibleGateway.com. That's BibleGateway.com. I set the Bible translation I want, the NASB, the New American Standard Bible. Then I entered the passage, Matthew 4, 1-11, and hit the big search button there. When, after a second, the Bible passage appeared, I then highlighted it, copied it, and pasted it to a Word document, and printed it. Now what I have in front of me is a Word document with Matthew 4, 1-11 on it, and I space it such that there is plenty of room around each verse. I also increase the font size so the text is nice and large in front of me. I do this because I want plenty of room to underline, circle, highlight, and take notes. This is now a working document. I can write all over it, and the ink will not be seeping through the pages of my Bible. I can pull the text apart in pieces. I can carry this one sheet of paper with me everywhere and think about it, or write on it in the train, on the plane, taking a little break and something else I'm working on, wherever. Try this. You might find it is helpful to you. I'm a big fan of different colored pens, markers, and highlighters, so I'll use, say, blue to underline certain words or phrases that fall into one category in my mind, red for another, green for a third, and so forth. Now you say, well, I don't have any of those, and I'm not going to go out and buy them for this. It's only summer school. Fair enough. Do you have young kids or grandkids? Raid their playroom. I guarantee you there's a few colored crayons in there. Use those. What's that you say? Can you give us an example of all you're asking us to do before tomorrow? All right. I have before me here Matthew 4, 1-11, printed on this white sheet of paper, and my Bible is also open to it. So without giving away what I will share tomorrow, without doing that, let me tell you what I noticed as I read through this many, many times. Here's one. I noticed the word if, I-F, if, was used by the devil in each one of the three temptations. And seeing this word used repeatedly made me think it might be meaningful. So I circled it in blue ink with my marker. It's in Matthew 4, verse 3. And the tempter came and said to him, if you are the Son of God, command these stones to become bread. If. And the word if is used in verse 6, and the devil said to Jesus, if you are the Son of God, throw yourself down. If. I began to be very intrigued, and then I saw the devil use this word if again in verse 9. Listen to Matthew chapter 4, verse 9. And the devil said to Jesus, all these things I will give you if you will fall down and worship me. There's that word again, if. And so with my blue marker, I have the word if circled three times, Matthew chapter 4, verse 3, Matthew chapter 4, verse 6, and Matthew chapter 4, verse 9. This is my example given for you. But that is only an example. You'll want to find your own observations. What stands out to you as you read this passage over and over again? And lest you think, well, I'm no Bible teacher or scholar or pastor, do not let that stop you. God designed his word to be both read and understood by you. You. Therefore, I know you can do this. And if you will, not only will you be a successful summer school student, but more importantly, you'll be surprised by what you have learned simply by reading the text several times. In fact, you will see things I will not see. You will notice something, probably many things I do not. And why is that? It's twofold. One, we're different people. I'm a man, you're a woman, I'm old, you are young, or as old as I am, you are really old. But that also makes you wiser. I'm white, perhaps you are black. I'm from the United States, but I have lived overseas many years. You are from outside the United States, but have lived here many years, and so forth. Second, you will have insights into this passage. I do not, because God, through the Holy Spirit, wants to say something to you that he does not want, at present, to say to me. God is all wise. He knows what we need to hear when we need to hear it and whether we want to hear it or not. So where I am at right now in my journey with following Jesus and maturing in the Lord is not where you are and vice versa. And this passage is about being tempted to sin by the devil, so it is likely you will relate to one temptation in a way I will not. This is part of what is so motivating about reading the Bible for each one of us. God speaks specifically to you when you do so. God speaks specifically to me when I do so. There will be multiple insights here for me, and there will be multiple insights here for you. There is something for all of us according to the wisdom of God. And what I am inviting all of us to do today is to read and reread Matthew 4, 1 through 11, so we can see for ourselves what our great God wants us to see. I trust this little assignment will be helpful to you and gives you a few practices you can use in your own reading both for now and in the future. At the public library where I sometimes study and even write for this ministry, there's a big sign hanging outside that reads, "Summer reading is for everyone." Well, I'd like to make a slight edit to that. Summer Bible reading is for everyone. How about it? Are you with me? Will you join me? I soon need to go, but I am already looking forward to tomorrow when we will share with one another what we see just from our reading of Matthew chapter 4, verses 1 through 11. Oh, and if you want to share those with me, share what you see, then email me or drop me a letter in the mail today. My addresses will soon be given. I'd love to read what you write, and I promise not to grade it either. We're all just students here. Jesus is our teacher. My fellow students, please join me tomorrow in the classroom of our Lord. Let's pray. Dear Father, thank you for making your word accessible to us. Now may we read it, think deeply about it, and most of all, obey the scripture. Please discipline us towards this. Help us not to take the Bible in our language for granted. May we soak in your word like a dry sponge would in a sink full of water. In Christ's name I pray, amen. Join me tomorrow with your four or five observations, for God is...